Friends, my name is Shelby and I work at Community Relations here at Crow Main Library, and I am talking to Librarian Heather and Librarian Kelsey about some fun early childhood reading memories and some of the chaos that came out of that. Hey guys.
Hey.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's going good.
So good. Can't
so
wait to
this
talk
whole,
about books.
I'm excited to talk about these books. Today's conversation, kind of a one-off thing. It came after I wanted to ask around about some weird childhood reading memories that I had, and it kind of spurred into a whole thing about our favorite books, our favorite book series, how we got into reading. So I'm really excited. Maybe we should start closer to the beginning of our reading journeys with picture books.
That's a perfect place to start. Did you guys have any favorite picture books that you remember?
I definitely did.
Tell us.
So there is this picture book I really liked called Tasty Baby Belly Buttons.
I'm sorry, what?
Okay. Yes, it was called Tasty Baby Belly Buttons. And it was based on a Japanese myth about a girl who was born from a watermelon, right? Mm-hmm. So there are these creatures in Japanese mythology called oni. And in this book, the oni, which they're kind of like these like giants slash demons, it's a little bit like that's the closest analog I can say. But in this one, the oni, not only did they eat people, but they especially like to eat babies. And the belly button was the tastiest part of eating the baby.
Okay, great.
But main character, right? She was kind of a Thumbelina thing where like, an old man and an old woman really wanted a baby, but they couldn't have a baby. So one day they cut open this watermelon and they found a baby in the watermelon. And so that was their daughter. And because she was born from a watermelon, she didn't have a belly button. So when the oni came, they didn't take her, but she wanted to one day go and save all of the village babies. So she learned sword fighting from her father, who made her a katana, and she learned how to make millet dumplings from her mother. And then she went off to get the oni, and she brought the sword, and she brought a whole pack of millet dumplings. And like, she encounters like a pheasant and a monkey on the way and befriends them by giving them millet dumplings. And then when she gets to the oni, she beats them up with her sword and makes them cry. And then she says, don't cry, and she gives them millet dumplings, and she says, now eat millet dumplings, they're yummier than babies. So then they all eat millet dumplings together and be friends.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. It might have been like what started me on the road to eventually, that eventually concluded in me learning to speak Japanese and going to Japan and stuff as an adult. But the other reason I remember this is I was an oldest sibling, and I kind of overestimated my intelligence, and I thought that I could kind of figure out everything and know everything. Heather might know where this story's going. I might have told her this before. But so did you ever have like, did your parents ever tell you not to eat the black seeds in a watermelon because then a watermelon would grow in your tummy?
Mm-hmm. I definitely heard it once or twice.
Okay, well, I never asked my parents where babies came from because I thought I'd figured it out, right? So if a baby can come from a watermelon, and a baby grows in your tummy, and a watermelon grows in your tummy when you eat the black watermelon seeds. So to have a baby in your tummy, you'll probably have to eat baby seeds. And what are baby seeds? They're the black seeds in a watermelon. So if you swallow the black seeds in a watermelon, you'll get pregnant.
Oh.
Well, that tracks.
Yeah, via ipso facto tasty baby belly buttons. That's where babies come from.
That's amazing. I love that for you.
Well, the best part is the street I lived on, I had like four or five other kids convinced of this just because I was so confident.
Right?
Wow. Strong and wrong.
Exactly. I love that. I'm using that.
Well, but all that matters is that you were strong about it. You had the confidence.
I had good arguments for like a 5 or 6 year old.
Absolutely. Right.
It was evidence-based. My evidence was mythology, so, you know, not the best evidence, but evidence.
Right.
So I will always remember Tasty Baby Belly Buttons. I still have my copy. One of the pages is falling out though, so I would love a new copy someday, but I think it's out of print because I doubt y'all have ever heard of it before, but I loved it.
And the art I have so never pretty. Heard of it before, and I need to read this book now. I'm so you excited.
Do. And it's so pretty. Like, you should definitely just look up the cover and see the art. It's so great.
I was checking out the cover while you were telling us this wild story that just like got more and more wild as you went. I kept thinking it was going in one direction and then we would swerve onto a whole new journey. Mm-hmm. And the cover is really cute and pretty. So now I want to check out the whole thing.
Yeah, you see her little watermelon patterned kimono. It's so pretty.
So mm-hmm. cute.
She's awesome. She's so cute.
Yeah, after Kelsey told me about this book originally, I put it on hold like immediately. There's only a couple of libraries in our consortium that have it, but I remember just going through and like, what is happening right now? Like, this is wonderful. I like this so much. So I definitely recommend checking it out too, because I had never heard of it either.
Sounds like beautiful chaos. I love it so much.
I love it so much. Yeah, it's based on the Melon Princess, which is a Japanese folktale. I don't think it's super accurate, but because it's more childrenified. Mm-hmm. But it's super cute. I liked it.
Yeah.
Heather, how about you? Did you have favorite picture books that changed the course of your life?
Well, I don't know if they changed the course of my life, but it explains some things about me. I had a personal favorite, and then I had a personal favorite that my mom read to me. So it was actually her favorite, but she read it a lot. But when I was thinking about this, I actually don't remember a lot about my childhood, but I do remember the book Can't You Sleep, Little Bear by Martin Waddell, I think his last name is. And it's about this bear who's just like afraid of the dark, and Big Bear is there to like comfort them and talks about like the light of the moon and the stars, and that'll always be there to watch you too. And I do remember as a little kid, I was afraid of the dark. Like, I used to sleep with the hallway light on and my door open a little bit, so like I had like light shining in. So I think that's why I gravitated toward it. But I remember being mesmerized like about the images in the book, like just the drawings. I just remember them being so sweet and so pretty, and a lot of blue throughout as well. So it was like calming, but it reflected the night sky. So I don't know why I liked it so much, but I sure did.
Yeah. Tell me again what it was called.
It's called Can't You Sleep, Little Bear.
Now I want to see.
And it is an 80s-tastic book. It's really pretty.
Oh, it's very sweet. It looks like mm-hmm. like pencil drawings.
Yeah.
The cover does anyway. Not that I'm
yeah, looking. Yeah. And I've always liked animals too. So I think that was part of it as well, was just like the animals were really, really cute.
Very soothing and cozy.
Yeah. Aww.
The first thing that came to mind for me when I thought of a favorite picture book, because I was a page here for about 4 years, so I'd stumble across old ones and think, oh, I forgot about this book. This is the best. I thought about Eric Carle and his really awesome artwork and those really great books, mm-hmm. like Very Hungry Caterpillar, which I know is still a favorite with most people. This is not like an especially unique pick, but that's one that I have like a core memory of being a very little one. And we had this little library at our school, and like weird choice when they designed this library, but lots of little nooks for children to crawl inside and hide. So you could like go and grab a little picture book. And I remember grabbing books like Very Hungry Caterpillar and then just finding a little nook and just like burying myself under some furniture in a dark crevice and just reading. So I don't know, maybe that started the love for reading. I'm not sure exactly. I can't trace back like an aha moment of reading is cool. It just kind of always was. But I wonder if that's one of the times in my life where I discovered that books are great and that I enjoy them a lot. Mm-hmm. And the art in those books is just so cool.
Yeah. I totally agree. I love that book too. I feel like that one is a classic for a reason, and it's so good.
Yeah, and then he does Brown Bear too, right?
Yeah.
I know that they use that one a lot for like teaching sign language. They'll do like Brown Bear.
That's so cute.
Because it's really good for colors and animals and
That one's Bill Martin, but very similar vibe.
My bad.
Is it the same art style?
It's a similar art style. With the like almost collage-ness of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's so funny. So it's Eric Carle and Bill Martin that did that one.
Oh, okay. So it really? Was that. Yeah. So I'm not crazy.
No, here. You're not crazy at all. Cause I was actually thinking the same thing. So yeah, it was both of them that did that cool. one.
They're such beautiful books. I wonder if that's why I was so drawn to those, because the colors of them and like the boldness of the illustrations, I think kind of blew my mind as a little one. Mm-hmm. So when I was into picture books, that was the kind of stuff that I wanted to see, like really rich and bold and colorful and in your face. Mm-hmm. Oh, I just thought of something just now. This is a book that I don't remember what it's called, but I bet a librarian could find it based on this description, just because I have a feeling that it was popular. I think it was, okay, there were these two little critters. I think that they were raccoons or something. And baby raccoon was sad because it had to go to school or whatever. And so mama raccoon was like, oh, well, I will kiss your palm. And then when you're lonely and you miss me, you can like touch your palm to your face and I'll be kissing your face and whatever. And it's very wholesome. I read that book. I loved that book. So one day when my mom was dropping me off for like kindergarten or whatever, I grabbed her hand and tried to kiss it. And she was like, ew, dude, germs. That's gross. She had no idea that I was trying to like do something cute and like, I'll miss you. She was just like, why are you bringing my hand up to your gaping maw right now? What is this?
Yes.
Aww, and I'm trying to be cute.
Yes. And I know what book that is.
Tell me, what's it called?
Yeah, it is The Kissing Hand. That's what it's called. Yep.
There it is. Oh, yes. And they are raccoons. Yep. I'm so proud of myself that I remembered. I thought maybe they were possums or something.
Yep. Yeah. Such a cute one. And
it's a cute one.
Of this is one I found as an adult that I used to use for story time, but it was called Love Waves by Rosemary Wells. And I feel like it has two bunnies. And it's like, you know, even though mom is at work, she's still thinking about you all day and she's sending out like little love waves. It's just a really cute, sweet thing. So very similar to Kissing Hand.
So cute.
Yeah.
Did you ever have, sorry, go ahead. I was gonna say, did you guys ever have like a children's book that you didn't know was about like something like deep and social issue? You just thought it was fun, and now that you're an adult, you've noticed that what it was actually about as like an allegory?
Oh, probably.
Because I was just thinking about another one I really liked because I did ballet as a kid, was Dancing in the Wings.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't know if you know that one, by I think it's Kadir Nelson and Debbie Allen. Oh. But the whole thing is, it's, you know, this young girl who wants to be a ballerina and she feels so awkward because she's so much taller than all the other ballerinas. So she feels like she doesn't belong and she's awkward and all of this. And she's, you know, waiting her turn dancing in the wings until she gets to be like the lead dancer. It's been a long time since I read it, but like, I didn't realize until I was an adult that in all the pictures, she's also the only Black ballerina in the troupe because they make it about her height and about her being tall, being different. And I was just like, oh, that was a very subtle way to address issues of differences or feeling like you're not fitting in.
Aww. I Googled that book. I just, I remember seeing that book. Like, we used to have it in our collection for a while, and I always loved the cover. It was so pretty.
It is so pretty. That's one of the things I liked, is I've always liked, like, dress up and costumes, and just the ballet costumes are so pretty.
Yeah. And I love that it was Debbie Allen too, because I know she's like a really renowned dance instructor as well. I love that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't know who she was. I just liked the book.
Yeah.
Wow. I feel like sometime we should just do a podcast about picture books.
Right?
There's so many, and there's just such a diverse world of picture books out there of different art styles and different stories and different meanings to kids. It's really cool.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think if I remembered something. Had I don't know. Like, I'm sure there's one that I reread as an adult and was like, whoa. But I can't remember, like, offhand.
I think I'm having the same thing as you where I know it's happened.
Mm-hmm.
I can think of, like, older than picture books where it's happened, mm-hmm. but I'd have to dig into the archives of my noggin and see if any picture books come up.
Yeah. One of the things I mentioned this on the blog that inspired this, but one of the things that my mom and I used to do, even when I was a strong reader, was we would read books together. Like I'd read a chapter and then she'd read a chapter and that sort of thing. And I do remember reading Babysitter's Club, Claudia and the Sad Goodbye, when my grandmother passed away when I was about 11 or 12. And I remember we read that one at the time. I didn't realize like quite why we were reading it, but looking back now, it's like, oh, it was probably to help me process the emotions that I was feeling. Cause my grandmother also lived right next door. So she was like very involved in my life as well. Yeah. So that's like a book I remember, but even like going back now and looking at us picking that book, like I'm so glad she picked that book to help me process, particularly through the Babysitter's Club series, which I loved.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, speaking of a book series that you were obsessed with, what were your book series obsessions?
Mm-hmm.
I loved the New Adventures of Mary-Kate and Ashley mystery.
Oh my God.
I forgot about those. I was obsessed with those books.
Yes. Dude. And when you'd go and you'd get them at Borders, because Borders was still a thing, and they would always have like two photos in the middle, and on the back there'd be like spy tips or try this secret code. And like, I had so many of them.
Yes. Oh, man.
I was so into it.
I would watch the movies and then I would read the books, and I loved those things. They were awesome.
I remember they had a basset hound named Clue, so I wanted a basset hound, so they got me a stuffed basset hound. And I remember asking for a trench coat for Christmas one year, because like I know that in the little logo they had like the detective trench coats and the hat, and I was like, I want one.
Yes. Spy mode activated.
Legit, I was like, I wanted to be a little Mary-Kate and Ashley detective. I wish I had a twin.
Mm-hmm.
All that jazz.
Yeah.
That's very 90s and early 2000s.
So yeah. I totally just forgot about that series until just now. So Mary-Kate and Ashley, I think we were born in the same year. So like I used to be really into Full House, and I liked like their Brother for Sale albums and that kind of thing. But I totally forgot about the books. Yes, I loved those too.
Man, you guys, I stumbled across those bad boys when I was paging here when I was like 18 years old. I found the whole collection. I was putting something else away and I just found them on the shelf. And I was like, oh, yes, a core memory has been activated. And I remember specifically, weirdly, I don't even remember which book it was, because I remember flying through those things, but I would take them with me everywhere. And I have one memory of camping somewhere. Like I was in a camper or like some kind of somewhere in the woods, and we were all hanging out, and I had a flashlight, and I was like, you got to leave me alone. I got to read my Mary-Kate and Ashley. This is really important to me right now.
Yes.
Oh, legit. I was so into it. I was so into it.
Those books are awesome.
Yeah.
I actually, speaking of detective books, I was one of the earliest series that I remember being obsessed with also was Nancy Drew.
Mm-hmm.
I remember because my dad bought me, with no context, I just remember he brought home like a giant box of all of the books or whatever, or like 30 of them. And I was like, okay, what's this? I guess I'll start with number one. And so I like started working my way through them. And then also the Boxcar Children.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yeah. I did those mysteries too. Mm-hmm. And then they did a Babysitter's Club mysteries series as well.
Whoa.
Before I was into that, I was into the Cam Jansen in like second grade.
Mm-hmm.
It was all about the mysteries of late 90s, early 2000s, was it not?
Yeah. So I'm the old gal in this group. I loved I loved Nancy Drew too. And I also loved horror. And the ones I loved, they were still popular like in the late 90s, early 2000s. But I loved Goosebumps, and I loved Fear Street in particular, like loved, and it's having like its moment again, which makes me like super, super excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. And I just remember too, just speaking of Babysitter's Club, which obviously I loved too, but there is a book called Babysitter's Club Chain Letter, and it was almost like a pop-up book where it had like manipulative parts and the babysitters were like writing letters back and forth. I loved that one in particular. Like Mallory was sending a letter to like Dawn on her summer vacation, and it had like all the 90s like little acronyms and stuff that
we right.
Yeah, I'm going to dig around my parents' basement to see if we still have it, because I don't think that's one I would have gotten rid of unless I, like, you know, tore it apart because I was manipulating it so much.
Right, just destroyed it with love.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember the, like, Egyptology, Dragonology, Wizardology, those guys?
Yes! I was obsessed with those, too.
Yeah.
Dude, the Egyptology was my jam. I would mummify Barbie dolls. I was creepy. I was a creepy kid.
I love it for you.
But yeah, like I go through the steps, like I get like a thing and I'd be like, now we have to soak her in salt first to dry her out.
And oh my God, your parents just walk in. They're like, why are you pickling Barbie?
I made canopic jars and everything for the organs, and I mimed pulling her brains out through her nose. I'm going to wig people out. Should we cut this, or are you going
to No. I refuse to cut any of this.
Yeah. I go through all the steps before I wrapped her in toilet paper, like, you know, or pretend to go through all of the steps. Like,
well, that's so funny.
I was super into ancient Egypt. I loved Egyptology. I liked the Egypt game by Zilpha Keatley-Snyder. I was in it.
I loved the Dragonology.
Yeah, I just.
Yeah.
And I was obsessed with that one, and I was obsessed with the Wizardology books.
Hmm.
Those are my favorites. Heather, did you have a favorite one of that collection?
I was too old for those, but I know, right?
Look at them right
yeah,
now.
I put them on Face Out here all the time whenever I see one, because I was like, these are so cool.
Fun for kids to have. I love that those books exist for you to like interact with, and you can like find the part in there that most interests you. Those are really cool books.
Take out the little letters and the like secret missives and stuff. Unroll the scrolls. It's fun.
Yeah, yeah, they're so fun. I used to like the Magic Eye books, kind of similar to that, where like you'd have to hold it up to your face and then like pull it away and the image would appear.
Oh, yeah. I have a vague memory of, I don't think those books.
I remember those, anymore.
Yeah. The interactive books.
Yeah. Did you guys ever, were these still popular in the late 90s, early 2000s? Did you guys ever read the Garfield comics?
Not so much. I had bunny suicides.
Bunny suicides?
Yeah, I had a middle school teacher who got me into bunny suicides.
Nice.
I don't think those books would be published today, honestly.
Just the fact that they're called bunny suicides, too.
Yeah, and it was like, and the subtitle was Fluffy Little White Bunnies That Just Want to Die. Like, I'm not kidding. And one of them is he orders the next Harry Potter book online and then waits under the mail slot for it to squish his head.
Mm-hmm.
I recall that.
Oh my God.
Jeez, Kelsey.
Gosh, I told you I was a creepy kid. I was a morbid kid. That was what I was into.
I mean, yeah. Hey, I think I was very, I don't want to say like whimsical as a kid, but I was really into magic and like magic ideas. And the creepiness for me didn't come in until I was a little older. But as a young kid, I was like, oh, dragons and magic and stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't even think that. Of like you walking in a forest. I just kind of was.
Like talking to fairies. Making little, I could totally, I envision it.
That was my life.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and like with mummies and stuff, I remember like from Goosebumps, Curse of the Mummy's Tomb, like I remember that one really well, but Fear Street I started reading when I was like 8, and then I moved on to Stephen King in maybe like 7th or 8th grade, just because there wasn't the breadth of literature available to kids at the time, so it really was like a big leap. Because you just kind of ran out of stuff that was like interesting and that sort of thing once you blew through like your series and those kind of things. Garfield comics, I used to go to the library and they would often not even like make it off the cart because like we were really into them. Apparently it wasn't just me, but I liked to pretend it was just me, and so like they would just wheel the cart over and I'd be like, boop, 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 boop. these are the ones I'm checking out. I don't know why I liked them so much, because I wasn't even like a big Garfield fan, but oh man, those were like chef's kiss. They were hilarious. Peak humor. It just
that's awesome. Music.
Yeah. And then both my brother,
was your brother like super into it too?
I was gonna say my brother and sister went to more the Calvin and Hobbes. They really liked, because my dad had a bunch of the old Calvin and Hobbes books because he liked them. And Troy and Tess, my brother and sister, both got very into them. Tess loved tigers, so she actually named her first car Hobbes after Calvin Hobbes.
Yeah,
he was an orange car. So
yeah. And then my other obsession, going back to like Kelsey's dance, I figure skated growing up, and there's a series called Silver Blades. And I reread the first one recently, and like it was actually, it held up quite well in some regards. Like the skating detail was accurate. Like I could tell it was written by someone who understood competitive figure skating, but there was like so much racism and like fat phobia and stuff mixed in. Like I wouldn't recommend it to readers anymore, but it was such
Whoa.
A it was the 90s. So but I loved that series too. Anything about figure skating, and even still anything about figure skating, I get so excited when a new figure skating middle grade book comes out. So excited.
So is that one of the books that you think got you really into reading, or were you already a big reader before that series?
Oh, I was always obsessed with books. I think I learned how to read at like age 4.
We're all three of us Same. Were always big readers, right? We didn't have like a specific aha moment in our childhood. Yeah. Seems like that tracks.
My parents and grandparents would even say like my favorite toys were those like squishy soft books that you would throw in places.
Yeah, like
like those are always my favorite. Mm-hmm. Just all the time.
Yeah.
So I was always reading, but a couple of books that I remember very distinctly as a kid that got me into reading, that would like make me read, was this random Helen Keller biography. I remember, I think my grandmother bought it for me. So whenever I would go to her house, I was like, oh, I'm going to sit on the couch for 4 hours and read a Helen Keller biography. It's going to be great. And I have a picture of myself on the couch, just like, you know, enjoying my book. And then another book that she also got me was The Tale of Despero. I think she got me a copy to take on the plane because we were going on vacation, and you know how kids be, you need to entertain them. So she was like, here's a big chapter book for you as a little kid. And I loved that book. It was such a cool book. I don't think I've ever seen the movie. I know one came out a few years ago, but I was obsessed with that book. I read it over and over and over.
Such a good one. And that's Kate DiCamillo, right?
Yeah.
I feel like everything she writes is so fantastic.
Yeah.
I really like her a lot.
How about you, Kelsey? I'm going to call you out. Did you have any specific books that like really reeled you in as a kid?
Oh my gosh. There were so many I really liked. I really liked Tea Witches. And then the other.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that was
yeah.
a show too, HB right?
Lauren Randy Rusfield. They made a movie of it, but the movie of it is nothing like the books. And I hated that. I hated the Disney Channel film. And they called it Twitches instead of Tea Witches. It was dumb.
I know what that is. I know what
that is. Yeah. H.B. Gilmore, Randy Rusfield. I still have all of them. I like them a lot. There was another short series called Witch that was like part graphic novel, part chapter book. And it was like an acronym for their names. It was Will, Irma, Tarani, Cornelia, Halen. That's super into cute. That. You're seeing a little bit of a theme here. They weren't actually witches. They were like, it was like kind of a magical girl type thing. They were guardians of the veil to keep the veil between different worlds from opening. They had to close the portals, and they all had elemental magic, and it was very cool. I like stuff with magic. A lot. There was another one that I think is just a really underrated book that not enough people read. And that was The House on Falling Star Hill. The guy's name was Michael something.
Mike Malloy?
Yes, Michael Malloy, yes. That one is really, really good. it like starts off with this kid goes to his grandparents for the summer in this little town, and his grandparents have opened a florist, and everyone says that they can't plant flowers in this town because the flowers go missing and bad things happen. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that yes, on this house on the hill, there's actually a portal in the barn that goes to a different world. And I forgot what the world was called. But like one of the things that happens is people there will steal flowers because there are no flowers in that world, and they'll use them like currency. And so he follows this mysterious figure into this world, and there's so much really cool stuff. I don't want to spoiler it, but like there are scenes in that that will live in my head forever. So I am very glad I still have a copy, but I feel like it didn't get the credit it deserved. It just disappeared.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's I've never heard of that one.
It's really good. I doubt any of the libraries in our system have it. I have it because I need it too.
Because you need it.
Exactly. I can't let it be lost forever. What if I want to share it with like a niece or nephew or somebody in the future, you know?
Totally. Yeah. It's funny because I just remembered something about you that I think people might know, and it actually pertains to this conversation. What is your favorite fairy tale? Did you guys have a favorite fairy tale growing up?
Oh, favorite fairy tale. I have different ones growing up than now as an adult, but there's so many I liked. It's so hard. I know my favorite Greek myth was Persephone, because that's actually the first one that I encountered.
Yeah, Persephone is my favorite too. I love that there's another Persephone person. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I actually, this is one of those, I remember reading like a children's chapter book, but I don't remember the title. I remember that it was green, and I remember that that was where I first heard about Persephone, and I read it as Persephone because, you know, it wasn't out loud. And my dad had to correct me, but like, I remember there was a scene where they were like taking her to the underworld, and she like grew through all of the stages from like a toddler to an adult as they were walking. And like, I distinctly remember that scene, but very little else. And I just remember that it's what got me into Greek mythology. And Persephone was always my favorite for that. As far as fairy tales, when I was a kid, I really liked Rumpelstiltskin. I liked anything with a princess. And I really liked the juniper tree. That's a morbid one, but I didn't discover that until I was in middle school. I don't think family would have approved. I liked the Snow Queen a lot too. That was a fun one.
Ooh. Yeah, I was especially into Jack and the Beanstalk, because I was into a lot of them, like you were saying. It's hard to pick just one that I was, I wasn't obsessed with just one, but I remember always really liking Jack and the Beanstalk. I think because when he climbs the beanstalk and is like up in a whole nother world, I found that extremely cool, like the transportation of it, if you will, into a whole nother space. Mm-hmm. And then like the escape back down to the cozy home space, it almost has like not quite a hero's journey situation to it, but that's how it felt to me as a kid. For some reason, I really liked that in particular. Maybe it's because it has something to do with plants and gardening. I'm not sure.
It's actually interesting. In Japan, they actually have a name for that genre, which is isekai, which like literally translates e meaning like good or sometimes other, and then sekai, which is world. So it's like good world, other word, and it's basically anything where you go from regular earth to a magical world. In a lot of Japanese isekai, people like die and then are reincarnated in a magic world. But like Wizard of Oz is an isekai, Chronicles of Narnia is an isekai, Jack and the Beanstalk is a little bit of kind of an isekai in that way.
Interesting.
Alice in Wonderland, isekai.
Yeah, that's so cool. Heather, do you have one?
I loved Rumpelstiltskin too for some reason, and I didn't even realize it until Kelsey just said it, but I was like obsessed with that one, like another core memory unlocked. I'm glad we're having this conversation too, just so I can like remember parts of my childhood. And I loved the Disney version of Beauty and the Beast. Loved it. I read the actual fairy tale like when I was an adult. One of my grad school courses was history of children's literature, and we did like a fairy tale unit, and I was like, wow.
That's so funny, because I actually had the opposite. My favorite Disney was by far Mulan, like no contest ever. Mm-hmm. But I actually didn't super like the Disney Beauty and the Beast, but then when I read the actual like original French one, I liked it a lot better.
That's awesome. I love that for us.
And then I also read Beauty by Robin McKinley, which is a YA novel. And that one came out before the Disney Beauty and the Beast, but you can see how that novel actually like kind of influenced a little bit. Mm. That one's really good. I'd recommend it if you like fairy tale retellings.
Absolutely. I'm trying to get more into them. Because like when I was a kid, back in the olden days, we had like Snow White, we had Ariel, Beauty and the Beast, and then Lion King, I think came out like around the time I was little too. So I would have loved Mulan too if I had just been just a little bit younger.
Yeah, because that one was 1998. So
yeah, and
I was like 3 or 4 because I would have been 5. So
yeah, but I love Mulan. Mulan is awesome.
Yeah,
Mulan was by far my favorite.
All right, friends, I have one more main question that I want to make sure I go over, and it's kind of a weird one, but I'm interested to see where this goes. So do you have any vague memories of books that you read as a kid that you've either never been able to find as an adult because you forgot so much about it, or you had to work and track it down to figure out what that book was?
I still don't know what that one with Persephone was. If anyone knows it, like, comment in the comments. Do we have comments? Yeah. Comment.
Yeah. We do, somehow, yeah. Reach out, find Kelsey.
Yeah. And do a comment. No. Come into the library, and then no context, just, like, throw the title at me. We'll see how long it takes my brain to catch up and contextualize that random answer.
Yeah, I had two. One I found pretty quickly. It's just because I have a terrible memory, so I don't remember a lot of the books. But one that I found quickly was the picture book, The Funny Little Woman. And I was totally like on Kelsey's vibe with the tasty baby belly buttons thing too. It's a takeoff of a Japanese tale. I haven't read it in years and years and years, so I don't even know like what kind of appropriation or anything is in it. But I just remember she made dumplings and she was in maybe like rice balls or something, and she giggled a lot throughout the book.
Was that a picture book or was it like a chapter book?
It was a picture book, that one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I just loved it. And I don't know if like we read it at daycare or something. I'm not really sure. But oh man, it was like the vibe for me. And I think there was an image in there that was like kind of green. But because I had like those big details when I saw the cover of that book, I was like, oh, that's the one. It's The Funny Little Woman. And I don't know why I loved that book so much as a kid, but I did. And then my other really weird one that I'm sure y'all have never heard of.
I'm ready for it.
Yeah, it's a book called A Prom Dress, and it's by an author. I might be mispronouncing her name, so I do apologize. I think it's pronounced Lael, L-A-E-L, Litke. And what I remembered about this book was like it was a haunted dress in an attic, and like this girl found this dress in the attic and decided to wear it to prom, but then like a disaster happened because she like took it out of its resting place.
Wow, this has like scary stories to tell in the dark energy.
I was about to say that was reminding me of that one.
Yeah, it totally does. It's really similar. I did find it years later and I was able to get a copy of it, but because it's such a weird, like esoteric little book, it took me forever to find it. And I actually both wanted and did not want to read it for our nostalgia podcast because I didn't want my life destroyed. but we don't have it in our consortiums, so and we try to keep it to like ones that we can feasibly get. I don't want to like scour eBay to find this book like I did.
Right,
that was the one for me. How about you?
Are we on me?
Are we
in eye contact with me?
Yeah.
Okay. So there was. I think that sometimes when you're a kid, you just fly through books, like especially if it's a smaller chapter book and you're becoming an advanced reader, you just fly through it and you drop it and you forget about it. It's not like you keep track of these things as a kid. So there were a couple of books that sometimes, almost like the way you're just living your life and you think back on like a dream that you had recently, it just kind of comes as a vague memory and then it just, you just go off and live the rest of your life. Those kind of come to me sometimes about books that I've read that, and I think I have no idea what that was. And sometimes it's something totally normal, like, oh, it's a kid at a park. And then like something happens. Sometimes it's just really weird stuff or like a weird plot of a story that I'm like, I have no idea what that was supposed to be. I remember once as a, not a teen, it was a teen book. It had like very much teen content in it. I think I was a little young to be reading it. I might've been like preteen, you know, a couple of years younger than probably I was supposed to be reading it. There was this book about this guy with like severe anger issues who like, I don't know, he gets into some nonsense and trouble and like he has a girlfriend and she gets pregnant. I have no idea how the book ends. I just have like this vague memory of like this book. And I ended up, I don't know if I Googled it or if I just kept thinking about it. It's a book called Venomous, I think. Honestly, I wouldn't really recommend it. It's a very 2008 vibe, and it's just not really what I think teens would want to read today. But if you want to, go for it. I just think there are probably better books out there. Mm-hmm. So that one, I remember it took me a long time to think of what it was. And then when I did, I Googled the book and I read a little bit about it. And I was like, oh yeah, this is the one. That was a weird book. Like, I never plan to read that again. And it's fun if you find any books like this that you happen to remember as from reading a long time ago. If you go on like Goodreads or somewhere and just read the reviews, I find it really funny because people will say things that like might strike a chord with when you were reading it, or they might say something that you had totally forgotten about the book. So that happened to me with that book. But also weirdly, I remember that as a kid, there were a lot of books around me, not necessarily at the library that I had to check out or get approved by anyone. I just, you know, you just find a book in someone's house and you grab it and then you take it home and it's your book now. So I remember one book, I have no idea where I found this, if it was like at a garage sale or a resale shop or just in someone's home and I picked it up. I don't know if it was an adult book, like a novel, or if it was a chapter book. I have no idea. But it was this book about... this guy, this is so silly, about this guy and his girlfriend died tragically, this is less funny, in like a water.
Continue to cackle.
I'm trying not to laugh because it's not funny, but the situation is so weird. He like, you know, what is it, like jet skiing, like water skiing, when you go out on the water on those weird, is that water skiing?
Yeah.
So I guess like this guy is living his life and his girlfriend had tragically died by being like run over by a water ski. And it was really sad. And he was under the impression that he had run her over. So he was living with like this terrible guilt. And then as the book progresses, he realized that his best friend was actually the one who ran her over and that he was just so overcome with grief that he convinced himself that he had done it. And then I have no idea what happens after that. It's just like, just weird memories of like water skiing and like crying. I'm not sure why I read this book.
Types into Google, water skiing, crying book.
I have no idea what it was, but if I ever figure it out, I will let you know as soon as possible. I think the cover has like, you know, a girl in the water just going, ah, and then a guy on a water ski.
Oh, that's even worse. They just put it on the cover. Here's the most traumatic aspect of this book. Let's put it on the cover.
And I think I read this book, I was really young, and that's why I think it must have been a children's book, because I didn't read a lot of adult books when I was that young, but I have no idea. I just found it somewhere. It was a paperback, and I picked it up, and I read it, and I was like, that was an experience, and then I put it down and just never thought about it again until I was an adult, and I remember thinking, like, what was that? What happened? So that's my big one. But there have been a couple of books like that where I'm just living my life and I think about, you know, I kind of have like a memory to a random book or like a really weird and very specific situation where I'm like, that must have been a book I read or something. I have no idea what that was.
Dude, you just reminded me of one super weird one that we it was called way later. So there was one that I read in like middle school and that my friend Suzanne, who I am still friends with, also read. And it was like so weird. It was like a sci-fi one. And it like took place in the future where it like everybody had like, there were no different races anymore. Everyone had like melded except for these four people.
Okay.
So there was an Asian girl, a white boy, a black girl, and a Hispanic or Latino boy. And they were the only ones and they all had magic powers. And like, that's all I remember. That was the whole book. And they were like trying to like run away from bad guys or something that wanted to experiment on them. And then two of them got together, I think, as like a couple. It was super weird. Like it was super weird and very cringe. And me and my friend Suzanne had a talk about like, do you remember this where like the whole thing that was like magic was that the whole weird thing was that like they weren't just a mono humanoid, and that was like the whole book basically, to the point where it became literally like super powered. And it was super strange and neither of us could remember what it was. I was working at a used bookstore right after my undergraduate and I found it, and it literally just has the line up of them all the front, and it's called Mergers, apparently.
Mergers.
And that's... like, just look at the cover. It's just, it's bad. It's so weird. I remember little else, but it was just so weird.
Yeah, I'm so excited to find this.
Literally, it was just like, this book is about everyone's a token.
This side of paradise. I was totally thinking while you were talking, it kind of reminded me of Starters, but I couldn't remember like what the main thing happened. But I looked it up really quickly and it was something about like this devastating thing that happened, and there were starters under 20 and then enders over 60. So it wasn't the same.
I remember that one.
I just remember the face on the cover.
And they would like steal people's bodies. Oh, look at the screaming man face on the front of this book.
Yeah, but yeah, I know, right? This is terrifying.
Yeah, okay. It looked like the one girl could heal. The one boy was like a telepath. The other girl could like change time, and then the other boy could like change into animals. I think those are the little symbols above their heads. I don't remember a single thing about the guy screaming at the top, though. That's
okay.
I feel like that should be our cover image for this podcast.
Just Mergers by Stephen Lang. Okay, Keiko and Dirk apparently are some of the names. Keiko, Dirk,
all right,
Nikki, and one other. I don't know.
Oh, that looks beautiful. That looks like a masterpiece right there.
I'm so sad because I still haven't found this weird cover.
I'll send it to you. Oh, Leo.
It's by Stephen L. Lane, if you want it narrowed down.
Yeah. Again, it just showed up in the second in Charles where I was working, and I bought it and I sent it to my friend. I don't think she wanted this book, but whatever, it was too good a joke and like a throwback to not immediately buy and send to her.
So can we all come to the agreement that we read our most cringy and weird books in middle school?
Yes. Oh, heck yeah.
That's when you branch out as a reader and just get real weird with it.
Yes. Particularly when I was up north and I ran out of books, and because I don't like rereading. That's just a weird thing about me. I don't like to reread. So we would go to like garage sales. We still love garage selling and thrifting and all that kind of stuff. So I would just buy random books that looked interesting. And I remember one having like a girl on the cover. I was telling these guys before we started recording, but all I remember is there was a girl on the cover. It was 80s-tastic. She had the big bangs, sprayed, and blue cover. And it was about a secret.
Sounds Juicy.
I probably got it for 10 cents.
Amazing.
Yeah. And then the other one, I actually finally remembered, and I don't know why I didn't remember the title, because I used to read this one over and over again up north, was called Perilous Guard by Elizabeth Pope. And that was another one I just randomly stumbled on. I don't remember anything about it other than it being a castle.
I'm so sorry. Can we talk about the cover of Mergers now that I'm
reading it? Yes, we can. Let's go back.
I'm so sorry. All of the teenagers on the cover of this book are 27 years old.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. Also, do you see the, like, 1999 hair on Dirk?
What's happening, Dirk? What's with the screaming man?
I don't know. I've got a lot of questions.
I don't remember.
Should we do this one as a nostalgia read?
Oh my god, is it in our system?
Let me look.
I couldn't find it, but maybe I was spelling his name wrong or something.
Yeah.
Aaron, oh man,
excited
this by book, our this book choices. Screams paperback 2007.
Mm-hmm. I found I it hard. Okay, name. It doesn't look like it's in our system.
Hang it.
Oh, amazing.
Tons of bums.
Bizarre, weird read that I only barely or tangentially remember.
Yep.
Actually, I might have been fifth grade rather than sixth grade, so it might not have been middle school. It was still weird.
It was in that weird time in your life where you start picking books based on like, oh, this seems fine, but actually having no idea what it's going to be. And then it turns out to be something like this.
Okay, it had to be. I think it came out in 2006, so I had to be in sixth grade, but ooh.
Wow.
That was a fine choice, young Kelsey.
Yeah, no kidding.
So weird.
I so appreciate you sharing that with us. That just made my day.
Thank you for this generous gift.
And if I ever find that weird jet ski incident book, I will share it with you, but I have no idea how to find it.
Please do.
Do we have any other weird, funny, or awesome childhood reading memories that we want to share?
I feel like we've been talking a really long time.
I feel like you're going to have to do a lot of editing on this one.
Oh. I feel like we did a pretty deep dive. I'm very happy.
We're pretty thorough, yeah.
Well, thank you both for hanging out with me and for talking about weird and amazing books.
Yeah. This is so fun. Thank you.
Half weird, anytime. Half amazing.
Always happy to sit down and talk about stuff like this. This is the best.